We're more than just another radio station.
We are your station for encouraging teaching and talk.
You're listening to Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
Friday on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg reflects on how we rightly evaluate a local church.
The church, the measure of a church, isn't to be found in its programs or its achievements, its reputation, or even in its doctrinal orthodoxy, but in its spiritual life.
Hear more about the living, loving church community Friday on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to protect animals in disasters, on farms, on the silver screen, and in zoos and aquariums, caring for the world's vanishing creatures. You can help too by making humane choices every day. Visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways to build a more caring and compassionate world for all of us.
Up next is Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee here on KKXX 930, Life FM 104.5.
What if you heard of an all-time bestseller that delivers practical information on marriage, time management, money management, and how to sleep well at night? Well, you'd pick it up, right? Well, welcome to Through the Bible, and you've come to the right place because that all-time bestseller is the Bible. Today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee opens the Word of God and delivers some of these practical bits of information and encouragement. Better than that, though, our study of God's Word tells us about God's heart. We'll discover how deep, how long, how wide is the love of God for us. So open to Deuteronomy chapter 20, and as you do, Greg and I want to share some of the exciting things that are happening at Through the Bible.
And Steve, there are so many, and we always joke that I have a long list of things, but I've been trying to be more disciplined and focused, and just because I don't want to just blow through a list, because each one of these is so significant. And I want to begin by talking about a pretty audacious goal that we've set for ourselves. We have a very small organization, as you know. We have, right now, as we record this, we have 8 full-time staff, which is kind of crazy. But God, we have great partners, and we rely on these high trust partnerships. But this little team of people, we have a passionate goal to get an individual language app for every one of our broadcast languages, which right now is about 130.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, why? You have the flagship app that has all the languages in the Bible on it. Well, there are various reasons, but we want to have both available to people. But people tend to want to go to an app that is just for their language.
Yeah, okay. And we've spent a lot of time developing this app so that it's standardized, which is key for us, because
exactly.
We're not developing 130 different versions of
the thing.
Right. And then it can be contextualized, and everything that's in English can be put into, like Lugandan.
Luganda. Wow, what a great lead-in. It's
yes.
Like you can read my mind. I love it. But yeah, that is the first app that we have done outside of the what I call the flagship app that has the 95 languages. And we are so excited. Now, it's just new. We've only done it for a few months, and we haven't done any kind of advertising or marketing. And here's what I'm excited to share with you. We have already seen more than 15 countries reached. And think about this. This is the language of Luganda. Now, you probably can guess by the name, it's spoken in Uganda.
Yep.
It's not a huge language. Listen to some of these countries where people have downloaded the new TTB Luganda app. Of course, Uganda, the United States, France, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, Kenya, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia. I got so excited when I saw this.
Yeah.
I mean, who'd think there's a Luganda speaker in Saudi Arabia?
Right. And this implementation of technology takes it to a whole different level for us, because you think about the fact that we would, in the old days, broadcast radio in a particular language, and guess where we're going to play Luganda? And we do.
Right.
In Uganda.
Exactly.
But any listener in Saudi Arabia, any listener around the world, that is their mother tongue. We've talked so much about that. Getting Bible teaching into somebody's first language and having it accessible to them is what's going to cause them to learn. And listen, even if they don't have a desire for the Bible yet,
yes,
they're going to hear their heart language. They're going to be
That's
away
right.
from home, and they're going to say, I'm going to listen to this because it makes me think of home. And the Holy Spirit is going to use that, and people are going to come to the Lord. You've got to be excited
yes.
about that.
And guess what else is going to happen? They're going to tell every Luganda speaker yep. in Saudi Arabia about this. So this is just one example of how powerful these new delivery systems are. And God willing, if you would pray with us, pray that we will be able to launch many dozens of these apps. We already have plans for about 5 or 6 more in South Asia, some Indian languages. So this is something we need you to pray with us about.
Yeah. Greg, let me do that now and then begin our study in Deuteronomy 20. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this new delivery method of this Through the Bible app, that it would be blessed and it would continue to go out in the Luganda language all over the world. And Lord, as we expand into new languages, I pray that you would move in people's hearts in random situations and circumstances to them, that they might somehow find this program and that they would trust Christ for their salvation and that they would grow in their faith. Lord, as we turn our hearts and attention to Deuteronomy chapter 20, I pray that you would use the teaching of your word to sanctify us and to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the 20th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And we're entering here a very interesting section that we'll be in for some time. Here we're going to look at first today the laws regulating warfare. Actually, it's concerning the draft. Nothing's quite as pertinent as that. And then there's laws regulating murder, marriage, and delinquent sons, and brother relationships, dress, the building code, the planting of seed, and marriage, and divorce, and the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, friends, can you have anything more pertinent than that for us today? Now, don't tell me that the book of Deuteronomy is a book that's way out, that it doesn't touch life where we live it today. This is the law given to Israel. But there are certain basic principles here that if they're incorporated in our living, in our life, it would contribute to the happiness and the weal and the welfare of mankind. This is something very important. I'm convinced that the men who originally drew up our Constitution were men who were Bible-oriented. Problem today is that we have a society made up of people that are entirely ignorant of the Bible, and our lawmakers today actually appear to be stupid in many cases today. And as far as the Word of God is concerned, they are. And the blunders that are taking place today in politics, my friend, are enough to cause us to weep and howl, because these men, far from God and not knowing Him at all. Now, we're going to be, in the next few days, in this area, dealing with these things that they're trying to deal with in Washington their own way, and they've been wrestling with them for years. Now, let me get to our study. Chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is something that's very important for the children of Israel. I'm not sure that it's important for us today. Now, they say today, make love, not war. That sounds good as a little cliche and a little motto, but it's like a great many. It's absolutely meaningless. There are times to make war, because we're living in a sinful world. The heart of man is desperately wicked. And there are times when you need to protect yourself. And there are wars in which God is on one side. Napoleon put it like this. He said, God is on the side that has the largest battalions. But Napoleon found out that was a lie, because he won quite a few battles in which actually he didn't have the biggest battalions at all. Very frankly, the important thing for any nations, certainly so-called civilized and Christian nation, is this war that God is in. And if he's not in it, we ought not to be in it either. I'm afraid that we have folk that do not think in terms like that. Now, verse 2, it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now that is something that is very important in warfare. Make sure that God is on your side, or better still, that you're on God's side. Now, God puts down four conditions, or four excuses that a man would have for not going to battle. Then we're going to see what it was that he had in mind. Verse 5, And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Now a man has a new home, and he's just built it, and he hasn't had an opportunity to live in it. Well, that man's not to go into battle. Why? Because his heart naturally would be in that new home. He had set his heart upon it and his affection upon it. He wanted to live in it. Therefore, he's to have that opportunity. The second reason for a man not going to battle, And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. Now here's a man that has planted a vineyard. These people were an agrarian people. They were farmers. Most of Israel was. And this man has just got started. This is his business. He's planted a new vineyard. He hasn't had an opportunity to eat a grape off of it. Well, his heart is in that. His interest is there. He's to stay until he gets this started, until he eats of it. And another man eat of it if he's killed in battle. So let him stay till he gets it established. That's quite interesting, is it not? Then verse 7, you have the third reason. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. Here's a young man engaged to a girl, and he's drafted. Well, he's not to be taken. Why? Because he's in love with that girl, wants to marry her. Let him stay home. Let him marry the girl. That's the important thing. That's where his heart is. And he's not to go to battle. Verse 8, And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that's fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Now, there might be a man that just very frankly says, I'm a coward. I don't want to go fight. I'm afraid to. I don't want to go fight. And therefore, I want to stay home. I've always said that these are four good reasons for a man not going to war. Now, I don't think the first three reasons would have gotten me, but that last one would have. If you're afraid and faint-hearted, you're fearful, you're not to go. That I would have turned and gone home. And you remember how this worked. That was in Gideon's day. This law was applied to Gideon. Gideon started out with quite a few there, you recall. He had several thousand. He ended up with 300. Why? Well, because there were those there that when they came down to the water, they got down on all fours, took a drink. This other crowd, they went through and lapped it up like a dog. They said, let's get to the enemy, get this job done. We want to protect and save our nation. And so they're the ones that went to battle. These others did not. Now, I do not know about you, but I personally have not quite agreed with all this business of burning of draft cards. I've had great sympathy with many of these young men, but I wished instead of trying to blame it on the government and trying to blame it on something else, why don't they just come out and say they're yellow and they don't want to go fight? And I will agree that that's a good reason That would have kept me out of the battle, I can assure you that. I wouldn't have gone. I couldn't have gone because I'd have to say my knees wouldn't hold me up. I wasn't permitted to play much football when I was in college and in high school for the very simple reason I had to work my way through school. And I'd never been able to prove whether I was a good enough player to be given a scholarship, and I'd actually have had to have more than a scholarship as I supported my mother. So I had to give it up, but I played a little, and I enjoyed it. But there's one thing about it. Right before that kickoff, when that whistle is blown, honestly, and I played the backfield, standing way back, my knees buckled. There were times when I would actually go down on one knee. I was so scared. But the minute I was hit, if I got that ball and I was hit, I want to tell you from then on, I'm all right. You see, there was this excuse, but I wanted to play. Now, what is back of all of this? God says, I want my people to know two things when they go to war. One is, they're on the right side, that they're fighting for that which is right, and God is with them. The second thing that is very important is that they be enthusiastic about it. And I would say today that the draft was a good thing, provided it was put on this basis. I don't think it's a good thing unless it is put on this kind of a basis today. And I think if a fella's yellow, he ought to say so. He said, I'll be honest with you, I'm yellow. I have no heart for this thing at all. And I think that would be an excuse, by the way. And it'd get rid of this motley mob that we've had today, that this is a war we're fighting for our country, and that the flag and that patriotism are really something. It's worthwhile, but not the way it's been carried on today by politicians, you see. So God was very wise after all. He had a marvelous arrangement here for his people, even in time of war. Now will you notice verse 11? And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that's found therein shall be tributaries unto thee. They shall serve thee. Now, this all has to do with warfare, you see. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. Now, this is another great principle. And you will recall that General Douglas MacArthur did not believe in fighting a war that you don't try to win. That's the curse of our nation, is its compromise and our phony piousity today. It's shot through our churches. It's in our government that we are a great, big, wonderful brother. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love my country. I love my nation. But I hate to see this type of thing. He said, don't fight a land war in Asia. He said in his day that if you're going to fight a war, you're to fight it to win. That's the purpose of it. And that's exactly what God says. You got no business to fight a war unless you're fighting it to win. May I say that God put down some very good principles here, friends, and I think that we've departed very far from them. Now we have in chapter 21 something that I think is quite interesting. It has to do with murder, and it's a very interesting thing. If one be found slain in the land, and this is verse 1, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. Now this was to be an offering for the city that the dead man was found nearest. Here's a man that obviously has been murdered, and his body is found. They measure it, find out what city's closest to, and that city is held responsible for that man. May not be. It was slain in the city. That is true. But that city is held responsible. And here's what they were to do. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless In the name of the Lord and by thy word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charges, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is without doubt a very wonderful law and a very wonderful arrangement, and it reveals a great basic truth here, and that great basic truth is this, that every community, every city, you and I bear a responsibility in the city that we live in, so that actually when crime takes place in that city, we have a certain responsibility. That's my reason for believing today that ultimately there will have to be a demand made by citizens, concerned citizens today, to demand that law be enforced today to get rid of the crimes that are taking place. Because God holds a community responsible. But this man's been found there. But wait just a minute. This lawgiver in this city says, I'm not guilty. I had nothing to do with that murder at all. All right, he is responsible. But therefore he shall come and ask for forgiveness, and it shall be forgiven him. I wonder if today, that even if there's any suggestion anywhere that America should ask God for forgiveness for our many crimes and the many things that are happening in this land of ours. It's one thing to say, oh, isn't it terrible, these things that are happening, and say, oh, isn't it awful? Another thing to go to God and say, oh, God, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us our sins today. Now, this also has another meaning here, and that meaning is just simply this. Christ was murdered. Yes, he was. But his death could save his murderers. And I think that centurion that had charge of his death is one of them. Then you have a remarkable law here that concerns the prodigal son. What should have happened to the prodigal son when he came home? Let's read and see. According to the law, and our Lord there that day, he shocked the crowd that listened to him when he gave the parable of the prodigal son. Listen to it under law. Verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Will you notice, this is the law concerning the prodigal son. You can't imagine what a shock it was when our Lord gave the parable and that boy came home and that father went out to meet him. Why, immediately the crowd would say, well, that boy's going to be stoned to death. He's getting what's coming to him. Or that father could say to his servants, go get a switch. Go get a hickory limb and bring it here. I'm going to whip this boy in an inch of his life. He has spent my money. He's disgraced my name. And according to the law, he had a right to do that. But what did he say? Why, he put his arms around the boy. He said, my boy was lost. He's come home. Friends, aren't you glad it's not under law today? When we came to God, if we'd have got justice, this is what we would have got. But we didn't. There was mercy there for us. And how wonderful and merciful God is to accept us and receive us. And then you have this remarkable case given here about a person that's guilty of a crime he'll not remain all night on the tree, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And Paul speaks of that. Now, I'm going to save that until next time, and that'll finish this chapter. Then we're going to get into this 22nd chapter, and we're going to see this that has to do with women's clothes. It's going to have to do with building code. It has to do with what really is separation. It has to do with the sowing of seed, the wearing of garments. And it has to do with a wife that's not guilty in adultery and one that is guilty. My, these laws that we're going to see in this next chapter, in fact, the next few chapters, as we've said, deal with these things that are so pertinent for us today. And they put down great basic principles that this nation that we live in, had it continued on under the Constitution that was given by men, Bible-oriented, I think we'd have a different situation today. We wouldn't have lawlessness inside our borders and war beyond our borders. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Isn't Deuteronomy remarkable? Its principles clearly prove the timelessness and the timeliness of God's Word in our lives. For more great teaching by Dr. McGee, why don't you join me for the Sunday sermon, What Do You Do With Your Past? Sounds like an interesting study, doesn't it? To listen online or find a local station that carries Through the Bible Sunday sermon, you can visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find it. I'm Steve Schwetz, and until next time, stay in God's Word.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
When contacting this program, mention you heard it on KKXX, 930 AM.
KKXX, Paradise.
K280, GL, Chico.
And K283 AR, Chico. Yuba City, Marysville.
Rudeness is running rampant in our society. One study claims that 12% of those interviewed had even quit a job because of rudeness in the office. 22% intentionally worked less hard because of the rudeness of bosses or coworkers. And 53% said they had lost work worrying about rude interactions. And that's just in the job place. But people often complain about how rude some radio stations can be. Many stations don't seem to be aware that there are kids listening to the station. So they have things on the air that just catch parents off guard with the kids listening. That's just plain rude. Well, welcome to the Rude Free Zone. We go out of our way to make sure we have nothing but good stuff on the air. No rude or crude jokes, nothing coarse or off-color. And that's the kind of radio station people are looking for these days. An oasis of clean, spiritual refreshment in the midst of so much rudeness out there in society. But the only way we can accomplish this rude-free, clean, wholesome radio is because of giving from listeners like you. So thanks for listening. But remember, it does take you supporting our ministries for us to keep this a Rude-Free Zone. Tell your friends about Life Radio. KKXX AM and FM.
Welcome to Psalms of Hope with Samantha Landy, author of 19 books, businesswoman, columnist, Bible teacher, international conference speaker, and distinguished woman of the year from Northwood University. The scripture says in Psalms 19, verse 4.